We want to hear whatever it's in our heart. If it's deep there, meaningful to us, it's going to be meaningful for other people too that hear. So this is why when we share something, we want to share whatever God is speaking to us or whatever we are going through in our lives. And this is a time in my life where I especially meditate on these verses from the Bible that I'm going to read today. And I'm sure you have heard them before. And this is Romans chapter 8, verses 28 and 29. We probably can quote these verses. We know them, we heard them, but I want to read them today and share something from here. Romans 8, 28 and 29. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. Amen. I wonder if you have ever go home and just take whatever you find in a pantry or in a store and just throw that in a, you know, in a pot or something and boil it and just, you know, eat it after that. I don't think we ever did that or ate something like that. Just whatever, just, you know, randomly go pick up some groceries and whatever that's, you know, eatable and just put it there. And, you know, because everything, you know, even if it's, you know, we can eat that in a particular way or something, we don't mix up everything and then we eat that. There is a specific recipe we want to make or a food or something and then we enjoy that. Well, when it comes to our lives, I'm thinking, God is not like that, looking at me like, okay, I'll see what I can do out of Sergio's life or your life. Like, you know, just mix up a bunch of things and, you know, just we'll see what comes up out of that. God has a purpose. God has something specific for us, for each one of us. It's like a certain food or certain, you know, a goal for our lives. And that's what the Bible talks here about. God has a specific goal for each one of us in our lives. When I was a kid, I got bored so many times, especially in school. I heard this is something for people that creative. You know, that's how creativity is born of. You know, like, you know, you get bored and then you come up with ideas and stuff. So many times when I was in school and I was not interested in whatever was taught there, I would just take a piece of paper and just draw a line, random line, a curve, whatever. And then I developed that. And I still keep some of those drawings today. I scan them and I have them in my with me and I show my kids. You know, it developed into something interesting, like a complete, like, you know, scene. And, you know, like I draw nature or like, you know, race car track and, you know, different things or like face expressions. And it all, it started from, like, you know, from just a line, something. You know, I just add something to that and so on. So, again, I want to say that God is not like that when it comes to my life. Well, I'll just let Sergio live and I'll see if I can use him for something or not. No, God had something before I was even born. Like Jeremiah, God told him, before you have even been born, I have put you aside to be a prophet. It's like when you go to Walmart or whatever, you know, store and we buy something, you take a potato and you say, I want to make a soup out of you. Or whatever you want to make out of that, you know, grocery. That's how God has plans for my life, for your life. So when I look into this verse that we just read, you know, we see the goal that God has for each one of us. And that goal is to make us more and more like Jesus Christ. More Christ-like. That's what the Bible says. Everything works together towards that goal. Well, when God created us, you know, from the beginning, in Genesis we read that God, in Genesis 1, 26 and 27, God wanted to make and he's a man, and he said, let us make mankind in our image, according to our likeness. That's what God intended to do. That was his purpose. So God created man in his own image, in the image of God. He created him, male and female, he created them. That's the purpose that God has for each one of us. As you know, I'm working as a truck driver. We are contracted by GM and Ford. So we take parts from different manufacturers in the U.S. and we bring them to the assembly line in Chicago. And they make, you know, cars there. I'm driving a Ford. I'm not sure if I brought the parts for that car that I'm driving today. I don't know if I can, you know, contributed somehow to that. But, you know, we pick up parts from different parts of the United States, and we just bring them to the assembly line, and they put them together, make that car. So those cars, they go different places, but they all look alike. Like if you take that, you know, like specific model of the car, you know, they all look alike. So when God was looking like to mankind, he didn't say like, I want all Fords, all the cars to be sold in Springfield, Missouri only. You know, those cars, they have a steering wheel. And we drive them whatever we want, or whatever people want to drive them. But they look like they have the brand, the logo of that manufacturer, whatever that car is. You know, so same way God said, I want to make everybody, I'm not sure if it's okay to say a Ford, but, you know, like to look like Christ, to represent God. But whatever you go, whatever God is going to use you for, he wants us to represent him and look like him and behave like him and show his character in whatever we do. From the young age to the oldest day of our lives, God wants us to represent him. So just want to look through this text here. I want to talk about three steps that, you know, show us about this process in our lives. And I'm going to talk about we know, we love, and we become. These are the three things that pop up to my heart, and I see them in my life. The Bible says we know that God causes all things to work together. It's not I guess. It's not something that we assume, or like, you know, we are guessing God has something in his mind. When I take those parts and I deliver them to Chicago, to the assembly line, I know for sure they're going to use them for something, for that car. So when God let things happen in our lives, Paul is writing and says, we know what's going on here. We know God is in control. So when I look in my life and something happens to me, God blesses me with money, I look like this and I say, I know God is testing me right now. If I see somebody that is, you know, maybe not as good as me in particular area where I am good at, God is looking, how is Sergio going to behave? Is he going to despise that person? Or he's going to be respectful towards that person. I know those things. So that's the first step, brothers and sisters. In our lives, Bible is written for us to know. So we're not by surprise, God, you know, caught by surprise. Oh, what's going on here? Like, what's going on in my life? Why is this, you know, happening in my life? Paul says, we know these things. Problem is that we can know just as a knowledge, you know, just like something, like information. Like a lot of, do you think a lot of people know that smoking is bad for their health? But they still do it. Or like eating too much sugar, or like, you know, doing a lot of other things. You know, we know those things are bad, but we just know them as knowledge, information. And this is the worst that can happen to us. And actually, it's a warning written in the Bible. Paul says in the last day, among all the other things, that people are going to be lovers of themselves and lovers of pleasures. He says people will have a form of godliness. They will know how to behave, to look godliness. I mean, godly. People know that. I just heard recently somebody, you know, everybody tries to help Ukraine now, and they buy different things and they, you know, ship them to Ukraine, or, you know, like, you know, they help the army, whatever they can. And somebody wanted to buy a car for the army. So this guy goes and buys a car, a used car, you know, because they're going to be used and abused there, you know, like in all those fields. And so this guy goes and buys a car. The car looks nice, painted, you know, looks good. And he asks the person who sells the car, is everything okay with the car? Is it drivable? Yes, perfect. You know, everything is okay. By the way, I come from a country in our part of the world. People try to sell you no matter what it takes. Like, you know, I'm a tall guy. I'm 6'5". I always had trouble finding clothing for me. So whatever I try, if it looks like this short and it's supposed to be long, they say, looks awesome on you, this short. My pants or whatever was like, you know, looking weird on me, they say, it's awesome, perfectly fits you. They just try to sell, make money. When I came to U.S. and, you know, I go to men's warehouse and try to buy something, and the guy told me, I don't think when I try, a suit on me, and I like, you know, first time in my life I can buy like large clothing on me. And he looks at me, man, you're trying to play basketball in that suit or just want to look casual? You know, because, and I see, wow, this guy is not just trying to sell, he's trying to help me. So anyway, this makes you kind of understand where we come from. And so this guy goes to buy the car, and the guy says, it's perfect. Problem is, on his way to Ukraine, after, I don't know, like 50 miles or so, the car's engine breaks down. And the car is just, you know, now useless. So he had to spend another couple thousand dollars to, you know, get the car to the shop. And they found out the car was in a wreck. It was an accident. They had to fix it and just, you know, it was painted and, you know, just touched up and just looked nice. And so I think, you know, the brand of the car was true. Color, look, everything looked nice outside. The problem was, you know, where he couldn't see. So me as a Christian, many times I think like that. And I, you know, I say, Lord, do I just look like a Christian? Or am I really one? Do I just pretend to look like Christ? Or do I really behave like one? In our part of the world, again, we, you know, the carriages. There's a lot of carriages, you know, the horses and stuff, you know. So sometimes people take, like, the logos from the cars, like a BMW or Mercedes, and they put in ahead of the horse or the carriage. And in our opinion, that looks cool. My question is, does that carriage look like a Mercedes or a BMW, or does it behave like one or a Ford? No, it doesn't. Well, many times I look like a horse, but I have like a Christ-like logo on my head. I behave like a horse. And I think I'm a BMW or Mercedes. Thank God for the honest people who say, Lord, I behave like a Chevy, even though I pretend to be a Mercedes or Cadillac. So we know these things, Paul says. We don't want just to, you know, to look like. God says, I really want you to know what I am up to, what I my intention is for you. I'm not just here, you know, to, you know, like that car, paint you, have like a spotless paint. I want you really to be like Christ, a reflection of Christ. So first step for us is to know. We know all these things. From the youngest that's here to the oldest. That's what God wants to do with our lives. He wants to make us like Christ, reflect His image. But the next thing Paul says, the second step I want to talk about is that this is not for everybody. This process where, like, the things that are going on in our lives and the transformation that God wants to make, it's not for everybody. The Bible says it's for those who love God. In other words, we can know. Do you think the Pharisees knew a lot of things about God? Yes, they knew. They knew so many things. Was God able to change a lot of them, to transform a lot of them? Unfortunately, no. These guys knew a lot of the Bible. Problem is that whatever the information they had did not line up with, you know, what they saw in front of them. Christ was there. But their opinion about Christ and what He's supposed to look, what He's supposed to say, what He's supposed to do, you know, look differently. So that's why God could not change them, because these people love themselves more than they love God. So I know information from my parents, from the sermons I hear. Question is, what do I do with this information? If I love God, this is more than knowledge. This is trust. I trust Him. I know that we have our kids here, so let me ask you this. Do you think it hurts us when we have to like discipline our kids, us as parents? I think it hurts more us than them. They just see the physical pain maybe or something, you know, that it seems very like, you know. But for me as a parent, because I love them, because we love them, it hurts us too. So loving God, that's the secret. That's the main thing in our relationship with Him. If we love Him, then we can say, Lord, I know that You allow these things to happen in my life for my good. It's not like today people used to, quote this verse and they say, okay, there is something good in everything bad that happens. And people tend to say, okay, we plan to rob a bank and something, you know, just didn't go as planned, but I know everything is for the good. And that's not what the Bible intended to be used, like, you know, these verses. God says, this is for those people who love me and I'm going to take care of them. The Bible says if anybody wants to be an elder, that's a good thing. What do most people think like that? Have you ever heard the idea of, you know, be the leader? Or, you know, you want to be the top, everybody, you know, like, you always want to be that, you know, the guy on the top and so on. That's the mentality today. It's good to develop ourselves. But did you ever thought about this, like being a leader that exposes you? That shows if you really love the position, if you love people. That really shows if you want to serve people or you want to just impress people. You know, so we are put into that situation where God says, I love you. I want to show you. I want you to see the way I see. So God is going to allow us to, you know, go through different situations where we're going to see ourselves, what's going on in our hearts. Do you remember when Peter, the Apostle Peter, he was one of the greatest apostles. And he's the one that failed also. Very, very bad. He betrayed Jesus. He said, I don't know this guy. He was very, very, it's the hardest moment of his life, we can say. So after Peter failed so miserably, and this comes after he says, Lord, if any of these people, any of the other disciples, are going to betray you or, you know, leave you alone, Lord, you can count on me. I'm not like them, in other words. Lord, I'm different. I'm going to be the one that's going to be with you and support you. And whenever Peter failed and he betrayed Jesus, he just went fishing. He says, I gave up. I saw myself what I'm up to. You know, if 10,000 people come and say, Peter, you're not going to make it. Peter, you're not the perfect apostle for Christ. Peter, this is how you are. Peter, you have issues with this, with this, and this, and this. You know, like us. Many times people try to tell us a lot of things that we face. Like if somebody would come and tell me, Sergio, you have issue with unbelief. I say, well, I'm not sure about that. I think I believe. And next thing I know, you know, I lack something. I need faith for something. And God shows me. And I look, I get scared. I look like, Lord, I'm shaking. What's going on? And God shows, I wanted to show you that you have that problem. Or if anybody would tell me, Sergio, you have a problem with anger. I said, no, I don't think so. And God says, okay, how about we take a drive to Chicago? And then the meter just stayed in front of me. And I said, Lord, I get it. This is me, Lord. You know, the God's word is like a mirror. And many times God wants to show us. So that's why He puts us into so many situations. Peter, after he fails, Christ comes to him and says, Peter, I got a question for you. Do you know what the question was? Can anybody say? Do you love me? Or the way I hear it is like this, Peter, do you still love me? I just wanted to show you who you really are, what you're capable of. Peter, I got the great plan for you. It's not like a random, you know, like I said, drawing, you know, see what comes out of you. I have a plan for your life. But I want you to know it's me and me only that can transform you and use you. And a couple days, Peter didn't know that Pentecost will come. And he's going to preach and thousands will repent and come to Christ. And Peter goes like, okay, let me give you guys autographs. Yeah, this is me. You know, this is, you know, I can see a humble Peter pointing to Jesus as this is Jesus and Jesus only. I'm a shy person. I was scared when I had to speak in front of people. You know, and being told doesn't help to hide yourself. So, and when Christ wherever calls somebody for a ministry, I know it's Christ only. I know it's Him that, you know, wants to use. And I say, Lord, with your grace and your power, if you want me to speak 5 seconds or 5 minutes, Lord, it's only you that can help me do that. So that's what God is trying to do for people who love Him. Do you know that like I said, this is the main, like the secret of our relationship with Christ. In John chapter 14, verse 15, Jesus said like this, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. It's not the other way around. Many times today, we try to think the opposite. If we keep the commandments, somehow we'll end up loving God. It's not like that. It's like me picking up a random girl. I go through Romania, just see a girl. I say, okay, how about, you know, we try to, like, you know, help each other and just, you know, this and that. And, you know, like, and eventually, maybe, you know, years later, we'll fall in love and we're just, you know, going to be, you know, loving each other. It's not like that. It's not like, you know, keeping commandments so we can loving God, you know, later. It's the opposite. You know, it's the opposite. I don't know what example to say. Like, I don't cheat on my wife because, you know, okay, I'm going to love her more. It's the other way. I love my wife that much, I don't want to, you know, end up with other women, other girls. That same way with God. Like, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. You will keep my commandments. I have no doubt about that. Because God's nature is going to come in you. And I'm going to hate lies as more as God does. I'm going to hate, you know, despising people. Because God never despises people. You know, like Christ, He was among us and He could just go and find, you know, just give a, you know, top 10 problems of everybody's life. And He could go like that. And Christ loved people. He waited to be asked and then He answered questions. He didn't just, you know, get into people's lives and okay, and try to do whatever He pleased with that. So that's what we have to think about, brothers and sisters. All things work together for my good if I love God. Then God says, okay, I'm going to take care of you. Because initially, in the beginning, God created us in His image. But we all know that we failed. And everybody that comes from Adam and Eve, we are born in sin. So we are selfish, we are proud, and we think only, you know, about ourselves. That's how we are born into this world. And God says, okay, I'm not going to make you like a robot, you know, so make you obey me and just do whatever I tell you. God says, you know, it's your choice. This works if you love me only. If you realize that this, you know, you want to be changed and transformed, then God causes all things to work together for our good. So my final step or like thing that I want to point to is like we become. We don't just know things. Don't just love God. And, you know, we want to be into this relationship with Him. This relationship with God automatically transforms us. That's the ultimate goal in this verse. The Bible says that, you know, He works everything together so we can become like Christ, our elder brother. We want to become like Christ. That's what God is trying to do. So God has this, like I said, this specific plan to transform our character. Not the ministry necessarily. A lot of, you know, like today, a lot of people were, at least I had this issue, like many people try to copy a lot. like the ministry of Christ. You know, the Last Supper? Some people say, okay, when Jesus washed the feet, we have to do that too today. Well, I thought, okay, what's the point of washing the feet? Like, you know, is this just a random, like, act showing something? Or was it, like, a necessity, like something that people really need? It was something that they need. They used to walk and was, you know, dust and everything that got on their feet, and they didn't have like tables like we do. They had to lay down. If you end up next to somebody's feet, you know, and it was not washed, I don't know what he stepped on or something. So it was literally something, you know, practically had to do. So I say, okay, if somebody needs help today, maybe it'll be better for me to go and help him with something practically than just, you know, show like, you know, hashtag respect. You know, so we try to copy Christ in his character, not the ministry necessarily. If God called me for a ministry, he's going to, you know, guide me towards that. But all of us have to reflect his character. Everything in our lives work for that purpose. You know, recently, just this year, a lot of development is going on in Springfield area. Like, you know, stores are built up, like, you know, Costco, Menards, and all that other stores. You know, do you think like on that construction site, everybody just could come and just bring whatever they want, just dump it there and just say, okay, maybe you can use it for something? No. They have a particular like plan they have to follow. Everything on that construction site had the purpose. It was supposed to be used in a particular way. Same way with us, brothers and sisters. God is working for our transformation. So, this is what God is trying to do in our lives. It's not a 5-minute job. It's not a 5-day job. It's a lifetime experience. We become like Christ, starting from here. And the Bible says when he will come, we will be like him. Until then, we're just like climbing this mountain. And we want to be closer and closer to Christ every day. That's what we want to do. That's our goal. That's what we want. God is trying to use everything in our lives, you know, to point us toward that direction. And this is not happening by our abilities. This is not trying, you know, okay, let me get you, you know, be better at something, like, you know, at math or something. We are talking about changing hearts. This is not easy. This is actually impossible for us. We can, you know, the joke with the kid that, you know, his dad told him, you know, they were sitting at the dining table, and the kid was standing, and the dad says, you know, you have to sit down. He says, no, he was a stubborn kid, and he was just standing, and the dad insisted, I tell you, you have to sit down. He says, no, I'm not going to sit down. Finally, somehow, the dad convinced him to sit down. He says, but inside me, I'm still standing. The kid was saying like that. I'm on the chair, but inside me, I'm standing. So changing hearts is not an easy business. Like I said, it's impossible. You know, we can look like something, we pretend to be something, but God wants to change our hearts. So this is the thing that only the Holy Spirit can do in our lives. So whenever we see like something in our lives, you know, if I fail in an area, I say, Lord, I have issue with this thing in my life. You know, first of all, I say, Lord, forgive me, I don't love you enough. Going back to the second step, I told, like, you know, we love him. So whenever I don't keep up his commandments, you know, I don't love him. I love more this thing or whatever that's going on more than Christ. So, and I say, Lord, I cannot do it by my own. You actually said he's going to send a helper to help me become like Christ. So, and the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 3:18 that we are watching the glory of Christ and then we are transformed into his image. And we are helped by the Holy Spirit to become like him more and more. So, brothers and sisters, this is something that I had in my heart to share with you today. You know, God is working for our good to make us more like Christ. We know these things. How about, do we love this? Do we love God and the way he's working in our life? You know, God put us in different situations. Maybe you are married, maybe you are not. Maybe, you know, you have kids or you don't. Maybe, I don't know what the situation is. But God wants to express himself through that. If I am looking at, you know, my friend Johnny right here, you know, we're like kids. I look at them and I say, I see the pure honesty in a kid. And the innocence, is that how you say it in English? Like, you know, nothing evil in that kid. Cute, you know, and I see God in kids. I look at children, I say, you know, kingdom of heaven is like that. When I see like a father, that he brings his children, or mother brings the children properly for the Lord, I say, this is how God is working. We all want to be that successful story. But how about the father that has a prodigal son or daughter? You do everything for that child, and that child still chooses. Remember, everybody has the steering wheel, and they choose to go whatever they want. We still see God's character when this father and mother has to forgive and cover that and love and says, I still love you. Who wants to reflect Christ in that way? We all want to be like, you know, just a good story. Just, you know, we want to be the apostles, the Peter. Who wants to be the James that's going to be executed just, you know, a couple days? He was arrested and they executed him because he just followed Christ. Who wants to be that type of apostle? Who wants to be the carpet? You know, today everybody wants to be the light, you know, the paint on the wall, whatever. I don't know what, you know, what's popping up in our mind. We want to be, you know, that type of ingredient in the you know, this soup that God is making. But God wants people like Christ who said, Lord, I come to earth not to do my will, but to do what you want, Father. And the father said, okay, just 33 years you're going to be on. Okay, look, I'm going to do that. You're going to have 12 disciples. And by the way, one of them is going to betray you. Yes, Father, whatever you say. Okay, you're going to have this difficult neighbor. How about that? Lord, I know you work together for my good. You're probably going to have this difficult teacher or whatever, like classmate or whatever, you know. And if we love God, we're going to say, Father, I trust you. I know you work everything in my life so I can reflect your character through whatever I do. Because that's the ultimate goal that we try to, you know, achieve in our lives. You know, whenever we fail, brothers and sisters, it's not that God's plan is not good for us. You know, even Jesus, if we read in Isaiah, you know, it says that when the Calvary was approaching, you know, and the Father told him, today you're going to be like, you know, I'm going to let them mock you and, you know, beat you and crucify you. And they're going to, you know, pull apart your beard and you're going to, you know, people are going to just, you know, kill you. You know, Jesus was not like, okay, whatever the Father says, you know, he went to the garden to pray. He took his part. He was like us humans, but he was God too. But, you know, as humans, he chose to like become like one of us. That meant if he was tired, he needed to rest. If he was facing something, you know, ahead of him, he needed to spend more time in prayer. So that's why before the Calvary, before they arrested him, he went with his disciples and he prayed and prayed and prayed. And says, Father, help me. Father, help me. Not my will, but your will be done. Whenever I face a challenge in my life, I don't know what it is. It's a neighbor, a person, whatever. You know, if I see that I don't behave like Christ, it's not God's plan that's short for me. It, you know, in Proverbs 24:10, it says, if you grow weak when trouble comes, your strength is very small. Not the trouble is too big. That's Proverbs 24:10. If you behave very, you know, poor, like, you know, you behave like unchrist in a situation, you know, it's not that that situation was too big for you. The power, the grace you had, you know, in other words, if you go outside and you feel like you're freezing, the problem is you didn't take too many clothes on you. It's not too, you know, too cold outside. I gave you the clothing you have, you know, in a closet. So you can face that situation if you just prepare yourself properly. If I have to go to Chicago, drive to Chicago, I know what expects me. I'm going to meet thousands of drivers. And I say, Lord, help me, Lord. And my Gethsemane starts. I say, Lord, give me grace, Lord. I want to represent you. I want, and whenever that guy cuts me off or does something, you know, I say, Lord, I know you allowed this thing to happen. If I am tempted, Lord, and I failed, it was not too provocative for me. Lord, I was weak, Lord. It's my problem. Give me grace, Lord. Let me come to the throne of grace, and I find mercy, and I find grace there, so I can overcome. That's what we have to think, brothers and sisters. God did not give me a wife too difficult to love, or a husband too difficult to love, or a neighbor, or a child, or a parent. God knows everything, every detail of our lives. He blessed us, and He says, I'm going to give you the grace that you need to overcome that. Maybe it's a sickness. I don't know what it is. Like Paul, do you think Paul wanted maybe to serve the Lord from a, I don't know, from an office somewhere in Rome and just writing letters from my, you know. He could do that, but God says, Paul, I'm going to express myself perfectly. I want to give my church a command to rejoice. And by the way, rejoice always. How about you write that from the prison? Maybe hungry, maybe surrounded by rats. I don't know what was there. Humidity, you know, bit and all that. And Paul says, I can do all things through Christ. And that's the contrast we see, brothers and sisters. When, you know, Christ cannot be changed. A Ford is going to be a Ford no matter what town you drive through. That car is going to look the same if you go through whatever situation. It's a winter or raining or whatever. It's not going to change. It's going to be the same. And that's why Paul says, I'm like a rose spreading the aroma of Christ. If I go somewhere, I don't become, you know, a different kind of plant or a flower that people just, you know, try to, you know, people didn't like tell him what to do. But Paul was reflecting Christ's character through everything that he was doing. I just come to a closing, so I want to tell you, every time I messed up, I like to draw. That was one of my hobbies. I like to paint and draw and do that things. You know, I'm into this, you know, design ideas and stuff like that. And you know, many times I failed. I wanted to do something. I was intentional about something, and I started to draw maybe I don't know a person, and it ended up looking like a tree or something. You know what the good thing was? I always could like take that paper and just, you know, throw it away and start again, fresh with a new, you know, blank paper, and start again and again and again. The thing is, brothers and sisters, with our lives, we have just one shot. We don't have two or three, and we'll do our second best. I think that's why God, you know, split time in days. And God says, today is just a new blank page for you. And He says in Hebrew, that's the new covenant, precious promise. He says, I forgive you, and I will not remember your sins no more. It's like God says, forget. What are you talking about? If I says, Lord, remember I behaved so rudely in traffic yesterday. If I repented, God says, I don't know what you're talking about. I forgive you, I don't remember that. Unless you don't forgive other people, God says, I'm going to bring that back against you. So today, I want to tell you, that's why Paul in Romans chapter 8 in the beginning, he says the first verse, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. The standard is very high. The mountain is very high we're climbing. And Paul says, we're going to see until the last day of our lives things we need to repent of. And Paul says, one thing I want you to know, don't live in condemnation. Have a peaceful heart. Have the love of Christ in you. This is the parent that wants the kid to grow, to develop. You know, how would it be if I just go to my, you know, two-year-old daughter and I says, how dare you are 2 years old? No, we never say that. We want the child to grow, to develop. That's how God looks at you and says, I see more in you. And more than anything, God sees the desire that you have. And how much you hate when you fail. And how much I hate when I don't reflect Christ in my life. God sees that. And I want to tell you today, brothers and sisters, God sees that too. And remember that all things work together for the good of those who love Christ. And God wants to make you and me like a mirror reflecting Christ. We know these things. We love God. And we become day by day more and more like Him. Lord, thank you for this message. As I share with the church, Lord, you see my heart. I don't try to be, Lord, to impress anybody. I don't want to be a hypocrite. Lord, I have areas in my life where I need grace and grace only. But Lord, like crossing a bridge, you build the bridge. You just want me to walk on it, Lord. You gave me, Lord, the commands and the promises in the Bible. Thank you for both. And anytime, Lord, I fail, and we fail, Lord, help us to look how much we love you where we don't and repent of that. Lord, the problem is love gets cold. That's why we behave certain ways. We love our reputation more than anything, Lord, and that's why we behave many times in certain ways. Help us, Lord. We repent before you, each one of us, in whatever areas you show us, Lord. And help us, Lord, not to live in condemnation, but become more and more like you, Lord, day by day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.